1 Corinthians chapter number 13, brethren. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Well, it takes a little longer to go through on my broadcast than it does in Sunday school in one sense, but we was on it on a daily broadcast for 4.5 months. And I guarantee you we didn't touch the hem of the garment. So I don't expect that we'll do it in Sunday school as well, but I know it's been a help to me, and I know we all have a button that can be pushed, and it's not the good button. We all can lose our temper. But the Bible didn't say that we wouldn't lose our temper, but it did say that we need to practice long-suffering and be temperate, and when we do lose that temper, get it back right. All right? So there is always a remedy for the problem unless it is a willing problem. Sometimes those willing problems, there requires a chastening that you're not going to get out of. All right? But we'll not take time to get into all that today. I'll be also going to the book of Luke, chapter number 10, if you want to kind of find your places there while I'm reading this morning. This particular lesson, some of the lessons that God showed me an illustration for in the Scriptures, and when I say some, I give you Scripture on all of them, but when I say some, I mean really a picture-type illustration that we can grasp and get a hold of. And this is one of those, and I'm going to deal, when I get to Luke chapter number 10 this morning, I'm going to deal with it in a little bit different light, maybe than what you're familiar with. It's not going to take away from the meaning. It's not going to change the meaning of the text, but maybe just kind of help us see in a little bit different light who we are, what we are, and where we need to be with the Lord. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word. If you want to find your places in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10, that's where we'll be going today after we pray and ask the Lord to help us. All right? Our God and our Father, as we bow before You this morning, we do desire Your help, Lord. Without You, we can do nothing. And I pray, Lord, to give us the words to say. I pray, Lord, to give ears to those to hear, Lord, that they need, and Lord, that they might increase in their faith in Thee. And, Lord, let charity mature in their life. And, Lord, we'll thank You and we'll praise You for that. Help us now. Guide us and direct in the service today. And, Lord, please anoint Your man today. Lord, help him. And, Lord, that he might be a help to us. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, if you've got your places in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10, of course, we're dealing with today the particular thought of how charity, let me get back here now, I didn't turn too quick. In verse number 5, we found that charity seeketh not her own. We dealt with 2 weeks ago, and we dealt with our last lesson of how doth not behave itself unseemly. And I want to try to take this particular expression and out of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10, try to bring you a picture that of how we ought to be and what we ought to be doing when we allow Christian charity to work in our life. We'll take this next expression of charity by saying that in reality this phrase is in one sense linked to all the others. That is, if you're not out just for self, it will cause you to be inclined to have the other attributes that we have already discussed. As I said in the beginning of our study, without a doubt, we must grow or mature in these areas to attain the pinnacle of our Christian life. This doesn't mean that we will be perfect, but that we will not desire to live in a sinful state. Reaching maturity in our Christian life would bring us to a spirit of happiness because we know that we are pleasing God. And I believe we're going to find this great example of seeking not our own in this particular gospel in the account of Luke chapter number 10. Now all that I just read to you, like I said before, I had to write some things out so I wouldn't spend too much time on it on my broadcast. But what that simply means is that when we are not seeking after our own self-pleasure, our own self-gain, then we will be willing to help others. And that brings all the attributes that we have been studying thus far and that we will continue to study. That will be an instrument used to bring all these in our life. If you'll be honest with yourself and with the Lord today, you'll find that most sin that comes to your life is because you begin to dwell or meditate upon what you want or what you think you need. And that's not godly, I'm talking about, all right? It's when pride comes in our life and we think that we deserve something, that's usually when the sin begins to take its course, all right? Now, if you will, look with me in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10, and I'll not read all these verses individually. I'll read them as I go through them and try to bring you the simple thoughts. I mean, they are simple. I might take the time, and I might not this morning as far as the normal time allotted. But I think that we can get some help from it, all right? Verses number 29, we'll begin reading. Of course, if you're familiar with this particular chapter, you find that the Lord is sending out His 70 disciples. You find that He pronounces some woes against those that have not repented. And all the works that were done in them, they did not repent. And you find the Lord coming to the fact, and He's teaching and preaching, and then this lawyer comes to Him in verse number 25. If you could, let's start reading there, and then we'll begin to bring the thoughts out in verse number 29. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now we've heard that taught and preached and talked about, and maybe even kind of full with the theories of with one another that, you know, that means that you're willing to do for your neighbor whatever you're willing to do for yourself. And to some degree, I guess that holds some truth in the aspect of what I'm going to show you today. But I'm going to show you today what it means to love your neighbor. And it's not so much as I would go home and take my paycheck and give it to my next door neighbor or give it to somebody. God expects me to take care of my family. But I'm going to show you, I believe, scripturally today, what it means to love your neighbor and what you can do to help your neighbor, all right? And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. So is Jesus preaching a work salvation here? No, not by any means. Salvation is still by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the Lord also knows this man's heart, and he also knows that a man cannot legitimately do what this man said that that you're supposed to do to have eternal life without the love of God being placed in his heart. And so what he was telling this man is, he said, if you can do these things, yeah, you got eternal life, but you can't do them. Everybody in this building today can do a good deed. You can stretch out your hands and you can do something good for somebody. And I dare say everybody in this building has. And probably not even always done it just for their family. But that don't make you saved. Paul said that back in the first three verses of our text, in 1 Corinthians 13. Without charity, we are nothing, brethren. But let's notice what the scriptures say. Verse number 29, now we find the heart of this lawyer. But he willing to justify himself, that's the problem. When you begin to justify whatever you do or whatever you don't do, that's when you run into a problem. I'm not talking about taking scripture and proving what's right and what's wrong. I'm talking about when you begin to justify what you want to do. When you justify how you think it ought to be. All right? That's when you have a problem. He said, he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? See, there's the problem. He wants the Lord to tell him who his neighbor is. No doubt this man, and I'll probably repeat myself to some degree in the closing of the thought, but this man being a lawyer, also being a Jew, no doubt, knowing the law, and of course you know the Jews had no dealing with the Samaritans, and you know, by law, they did not have to do anything for the Gentile. Matter of fact, they could kill a Gentile if they wanted to and not be tried for murder. Now, according to the history and the scholars, not only could they get by with killing a Gentile if they wanted to, if they saw a Gentile being in distress or going to be murdered, they didn't have to help. They could just walk away, and they would not be liable. So we find this lawyer answering the Lord's question and how he's supposed to love his neighbor, but he's considering his neighbor, according to the law in that time, was only the Jewish brethren. So he said, I've done that. I've loved my brethren. All right? And many people want to say, well, I've loved my family. I've loved the people at the church. He said, who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now the one writer, as I've already told you, talked about the fact of the Jew and the Gentile, and he led you to believe that this man was probably a Gentile. Whether he was or not, I don't know for certain, but I do know that there was a Samaritan, which was a mix between Jew and Gentile. That did stop and help this man. I want us to look at, I just got 2 points, but I got several subpoints under each one. But I want us first to look at this thought, the way that we look at others. I'm talking about Christian charity. Notice the lawyer said, who is my neighbor? He wants to know, how am I supposed to look at somebody, and what am I supposed to think? Number one, in verse number 29, I see, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Do I know him? Well, if I don't know him, that means I don't have to help him, right? Not according to the scripture. All right? But, I mean, I'm just being honest with you, that's the attitude of most of us. And when I say most of us, I mean all, in all churches. I'm talking about the lost world as well. If I don't know somebody, then I'm not going to help them. That's the way we look at it. So we see in verse number 29, he wanted to say, well, who is my neighbor? If I don't know that he's my neighbor, then I'm not going to help him. Of course, we know that everybody is our neighbor. Secondly, in verses number 30 and 31, we find that he asked the question to a certain degree of, does he meet my standard? Now, brethren, I'm just going to be honest with you. You might not have a problem in these areas, but I did, and the Lord definitely dealt with my heart when I studied this in the original time. Okay? In verse number 30, he said that a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. I see here that, sometimes because of somebody's raiment, they stripped him of his raiment, and that's some of our pet peeves. Maybe because of their raiment, we won't try to help them, whether it be spiritually or physically. But I'm trying to deal with the spiritual aspect of it, okay? So, does he meet our standard? In verse number 31, he said, by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He didn't speak to him. He didn't go over there, and I'll bring this out in just a minute, but he didn't go over there and look on him. He just saw him. Well, he's not one that I'm going to help. Now, according to history and scholars and commentators, they all said that there's 15 miles between Jerusalem and Jericho. And they say that the terrain is rough. And rocky, valleys and what have you, and this and that and the other. And plenty of opportune places of what they entitled the highwaymen, the robbers and the thieves, to attack someone going that away. And this was the most popular road of travel. Now, in doing that, we see the priest is coming down this road, and he says, well, you don't meet my standard. I'm not going to go help him. Thirdly, we see him basically asking the question, does he have any hope? How many times have we said to ourselves, that one's too far gone? Oh, me. Amen. And that one's history. You might as well just leave him alone. He's got tattoos, he's got earrings, he's got necklaces. I mean, we might as well just leave him alone. Amen. And I say there's thoughts there. I'm not saying that you're necessarily wrong to take a second look. Okay? I'm just trying to be honest with you this morning, according to what I see in the scriptures. I'm not saying that you wouldn't be wrong in being cautious to approach certain people. But don't just neglect giving them the gospel because they don't meet up to your standard. Amen. Does he have any hope? In the last part of verse number 30, we find that the Bible said that those thieves had departed, leaving him half dead. And again, I'm not dealing with all the thoughts of salvation and everything here. I know several of these things. That's the death of the spirit, but he's still alive in the flesh, all that. There's many things here and typologies we can bring out. I'm not doing all that for a particular reason. I'm not dealing with the typology. I'm dealing with how we are supposed to express charity. Okay? But he says, does he have any hope in verse number 32? And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, go ahead, Bro Steve, you'll put that in your archive, won't you? And I know how to erase it. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. He not only saw him over there, but he came and looked. Looked on him a minute. Stop. Well, is there anything I can do for him? Okay? But he decided there wasn't, and he passed on by on the other side. Does he have any hope? Nah, ain't nothing I can do for him. Don't have no hope. Fourthly, does he need help? Well, our problem, though, is not the fact that if they need help or if they don't need help, the problem is we've come to a place that because of these other three aspects I've already looked at, we say, well, there's nothing I can do to help him, so I'm going to go on. Well, I know we can't save an individual, but we're not talking about saving an individual. We're talking about helping a wounded individual in a ditch. Context, am I right? So does he need help? Verse number 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. What about that? Amen. Does he need help? Well, this Samaritan saw that this man needed help. The Levite and the priest said, no, going to the other side. They going on. But there was a Samaritan that said, this man needs some help. And he saw that need. Then I want to say secondly this morning, not only the way we look at others, but the way we care for others. I want to take this Good Samaritan here, as we commonly call it, and I want to show you how he cared for this individual that needed help. I want to show you what charity really is, okay, scripturally. Number one, in verse number 34, we find that charity is a sacrifice of time. And it's not in every instance. There's different things that happen that requires different things, but here is a sacrifice of time. In verse number 34, of course, I believe this is a complete example because it gives us all of those instances. But in verse number 34, the Bible said, and went to him. Now, this man needed to get to Jericho, or not actually needed to get to Jericho, but this man was heading on his way to where he needed to be. And in trying to get to where he needed to be to take care of his business, he was on this road that traveled from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he found this man beaten and left half dead in the ditch. And the Bible said he stopped, he went, he came to where he was, he saw him, had compassion on him, and went to him. He took time. Now, if you want to deal totally with the spiritual application of salvation and lost a person like that, sometimes we might need to take time for a sinner. Amen? But again, that's not what I'm dealing with. I'm trying to deal with the fact of charity toward someone else. This man took time. Do we care for others just by taking time? It might not be but 5 minutes that we need to just say an encouraging word to somebody. That we need to offer some advice. That we need to offer our hands to do something. Maybe drop them off at a place. You know, Josh has been having a lot of trouble with his truck, and I've been having some trouble with my truck, and I've had to go pick him up at times, and sometimes take him back, sometimes others take him back or whatever, and vice versa for me. You know, and most people don't think nothing about that, but that is an act of charity. That is taking time to do what needs to be done for someone else. And it's not that I didn't have work to do. It's not that if it was after work hours that I might not have something else that I wanted to do with my family or something else I wanted to do for me, but it's the thought of taking time to help someone else. And I'm afraid many times we're not willing to do that. Dealing with the way we care for others. Secondly, not only was there a sacrifice of time, but there was a sacrifice of his personal supplies. This man's on a long journey. Let's look at what he's doing in verse number 34, the second part of it. He not only went to him, but the Bible said, and bound up his wounds. So that tells me that he had some medical supplies in case that he needed some help for himself in this journey, you know. Might have fell off his beast and scratched himself up, might have come across something that he got bit, or he might have fell and broke an arm or broke a leg or whatever the case may be. I mean, you can make many applications in that point. But needless to say, he took his personal supplies that was for him and helped a man that he found in a ditch. Sacrifice of personal supplies. Thirdly, not only did he sacrifice his personal supplies, of course the Bible said he poured in oil and wine, but then the sacrifice of his comfort. This man took this man out of the ditch and set him on his own beast. His own beast. I told you that this is a 15-mile journey. Uphill, downhill, over the rocks, and all kinds of stuff. According to people supposed to be smarter than me. But in a process of that, he takes this man out of the ditch, sets him on his own beast, and evidently he walks. I wonder how many of us are willing to sacrifice our comfort. And the reason why I say that and not just say maybe our mode of transportation is because it might not be our mode of transportation that we need to sacrifice. It might just be something that is comfortable to us or convenient to us that we might need to sacrifice to be a help to somebody else. And then I want to say, lastly, it was a sacrifice of money. And I know people get all bent out of shape and you talk about giving and all that, but I'm just giving you scripture, all right? In verses number 34 and 35 at the last part, the Bible said that this man brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now that inn wasn't free. All right? He took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He said, it doesn't matter what it costs to take care of this man. You take care of it, and I'll take care of it. All right? I'm glad Christ took care. I have to interject that. I'm glad Christ took care of our debt. Amen? And he won't owe any more when he comes back the second time either. All right? Anyway, we need to have that sacrifice of money. It'll cost us sometimes to help somebody. Paul didn't say that it wouldn't. Paul just said it don't matter that if I even give my body to be burned to help somebody. It don't profit me anything if I have not charity. I said all that at the beginning to say this, still, you can help everybody you want to help. And you can do something for everybody that you come in contact with. But if you didn't do it because of charity, you didn't do it the right way. Amen. It don't mean nothing. If it's not because the love of God's in your heart, then it don't mean anything. There's a lot of good organizations out here that are trying to help people that are sick and people that are crippled and people that are without parents and vice versa. All those kinds of things. There's people out here doing a lot of good deeds. But if they're not doing it because the Lord's put it in their heart, it ain't helping them any. Now in closing, I want to remind you of these things. Let's take a moment and look at this lawyer. I already made some comment of this. It'll be just a rerun to you. But he is evidently an intelligent man since he is a lawyer. He is no doubt a Jew by his knowledge of the law. It would also appear that he would be acquainted with some of the influential people of that day as well as have many of the finer things of this temporal life. This man, no doubt a sinner, asked a question about obtaining eternal life. By the way that he asked the right person, I mean, he asked Jesus, didn't he? He didn't ask somebody else for eternal life. He asked the Lord, the one who knew, the one who was able to give that eternal life, didn't he? Jesus told him that eternal life comes from God through his love toward us, showing us that when the love of God is in us, then we will show it back to God with everything that is in us, amen, as well as toward our neighbor in need of help. It appears that this man went away lost, just like he came. He was like a lot of people today. They know that when God convicts them of sin, then it is time to turn to God and ask for his forgiveness and mercy and ask him to save them by his marvelous grace. And I got Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, which I've already quoted to you. But I want to say this, and I know this shows my ignorance, but it was to this lesson that I realized, really, it just opened up to me that every one of these fruits, attributes, whatever you want to call them, of charity is Christ. Amen. We cannot show any of these truths without Christ. And if Christ be not in us through the person of the Holy Spirit, then we cannot. I mean, as Paul said, you can do a lot of things that don't profit you. You're just like a loud clanging noise. You know, it won't profit you nothing. You'll be nothing. You know, people can see through falsehood. Some people just like to be critical. But people can see through falsehood. And, you know, if you're only helping someone that can help you, the Bible says the sinners do the same. Amen? And true Christian charity will cause you not to look at others in the way that Levite and priest did. It'll cause you to look at somebody that's in that ditch the way that Samaritan did, and it'll cause you to take what you have that you have received of the Lord and help them with it.